schools in Wisconsin are closed until, at the very least, April 24th. That's a week from Thursday. Governor Evers ordered them closed as part of his safer-at-home order to fight the spread of the coronavirus. The move has resulted in many students trying to learn from home with tablets or laptops. Parents are also playing an increased role in teaching kids, in addition to working from home themselves in many cases. It's pretty much anybody's guess when schools will reopen. But our next guest says she's not interested in turning her home into a substitute for her twin boys' school, and that, yeah, it's going to be kind of messy, but she says everything's going to turn out okay. Jenny Weiner is an associate professor of educational leadership at the University of Connecticut. She recently wrote about her approach to her kids' schooling in the New York Times. Jenny, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Jenny, your kids, you're a fellow twin parent, by the way. That's cool. Your kids are in third grade. What does school, I'm throwing quotes around that, look like for them right now?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So school looks like about in the mornings we wake up, we have a dog, we walk our dog, and then we have basically half an hour blocks of activities, whether they be math, there's some worksheets. The school now is sort of more up and running in terms of distributing some resources to us. And then they do what we're calling exploration, which we give them sort of free rein to investigate a question that they're interested in. So they go on the internet, we side-eye to make sure everything is appropriate, and they have to come up with five facts and two questions. Then we take about 10 o'clock, almost 2 hour break, which involves mostly trying to get energy out, whether that's doing yoga online or going for a walk or going for a bike ride with our newly minted masks. We have lunch. We attempt to do some other kind of learning activity, maybe for 30 or 40 minutes in the afternoon. And then around, I would say, like 2 or 3 o'clock, it's a free for all. We have video games. We have TV. I'm trying to get them to watch more like documentaries. And then we have dinner and we try to keep bedtime pretty much where it was before, which is about 8 o'clock.
That sounds like a lot. And you write in your piece, though, that you aren't and you think most people shouldn't adapt, you know, kind of a high pressure approach to feel like home is school now. How do you see yourself and others hopefully drawing that line?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, first of all, I would never sort of presuppose that the way it works for us should be the way it works for others. Sure. And I think that's sort of the messiness, right? Like everyone is going to have to find a way to make it work for them that's most appropriate and make sense for their family, for their sanity and well-being. In terms of sort of the line for us, I should also add that one of my sons has a disability. So he gets special services at school, quite a few. So school for him, you know, I'm putting sort of air quotes around that, doesn't involve one teacher and one student or one teacher and a group of students. It involves an entire kind of collaborative group of working professionals to make school available to him and allow him to be successful. So that, of course, complicates, right, our ability as parents. We're not 8 people nor trained, you know, elementary school educators to be able to facilitate that for him. And so I think the line is when it feels that you are having opportunities to express learning and love and joy, and that it's helping you and your children feel better in a structured environment, then I say, go for it. You know, I mean, that's been I have said to myself, go for it. I think the line is when it feels like you're trying to create the structures, compliance, accountability of school within this sort of crisis situation within your home without necessarily the skills, knowledge, or capabilities to do so, which I can't understand how it create anything other than additional stress, potentially like a negative relationship with your child in a time where, you know, the humanness and the love need to be sort of at the forefront to deal with the pandemic. And so that's sort of how I was conceptualizing and thinking about it, rather than sort of dictating one should be spending their time in this way or another.
Jenny Weiner is with us from the University of Connecticut. We're talking about a piece she wrote about parenting during a time of COVID-19, staying at home, and how parents are handling education for kids at home. Want to hear from you, by the way, at 800-642-1234. If you and your family are in this situation, we'd love to hear your unique experience. It's going to be different from household to household. Want to hear how you're handling things, how much pressure you're putting on the educational side of things, how much slack you're giving yourself, your kid, or if you're the kid yourself, yourself, call in at 800-642-1234. Jenny, a word you used in your piece and you've used here today, messy. This has got to be messy, and it seems like the more we appreciate that, the better off we're going to be.
Totally. And I, you know, I sort of think back, and as a twin parent too, you know, I had all these idyllic ideas about when I brought my babies home, like what that would look like. And very quickly, sort of any expectation of how they behaved was useful for about 8 hours. And then they would change and something would go wrong. And I think, you know, that degree of messiness sort of readied me for this, in the sense that, like, what works today or for this half an hour or for this, you know, afternoon may not work tomorrow. And instead of sort of punishing oneself, particularly when we have this additional stress and unprecedented environment of a pandemic, why not sort of just say, like, I give myself permission to negotiate this as it comes. And I think that that, at least for us, has created opportunities to just go off course, but in, you know, exciting or interesting or, you know, new ways that as a family we maybe hadn't brokered before, rather than trying to double down on things that aren't working because somebody told us or we feel that we should or have to.
Now, in my family, we're in the high school zone. And I think you mentioned your piece for people looking at, you know, maybe college. This can be stressful in a different way. Are kids missing out on the stuff that's going to get them into whatever school they want to go to or their parents want them to go to, whatever the case may be? How do you think people can dial down some of that particular style of stress?
Yeah, that's a great issue. And I think that those are really legitimate fears because we live in a society where sort of education is transactional. Like people have to get these awards or get a certain amount of APs to be able to feel successful. I mean, I think what's hard right now is there is no guidebook, right? So we have to sort of embrace the messiness. We have to hold that for ourselves and for our kids and sort of just say to them, you know, maybe this means that it's going to be a little bit longer. Maybe this means that we're going to have to think about, you know, learning differently. And I know that those aren't easy answers, but again, this is an unprecedented time. And I just don't know what help it is to pretend like everything is normal outside the scope of your home, how that might actually increase stress and anxiety for your child, and particularly teenagers who feel, again, this amazing pressure to perform. So I'm not there yet with my own kids, but I would love to hear what others are thinking about that, because I think it is a very difficult time for our older kids as well.
We continue our discussion about distance learning and how families are dealing with it. Jenny Wiener is with us, Associate Professor of Educational Leadership at the University of Connecticut. She wrote a piece at the New York Times saying she's making a good faith effort to have her sons do their homework, but you can take it too far. She says, dial down some of the pressure on yourself and on your kids. You can join in at 800-642-1234 to share your experiences with learning while the schools are closed. You feeling stress and anxiety, or have you found a good rhythm, routine early in the game? 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's bring on a caller now. Laura is with us in Chippewa Falls. Laura, hi.
Hi. So I have a senior in high school, and I also have a first grader. And my senior in high school obviously is very into technology. They do all of their homework mostly online anyway. But I have a first grader as well. And so we have started using the Chromebook. The teachers here are awesome, and they've already put out lesson plans. They do the meetings through Zoom. So lots of good stuff going up here, but it's always a challenge when you have a senior that wants to go to school and a first grader that is really bummed that she can't see her friends. So while we're getting the schoolwork done, we're also trying to navigate seeing friends and actually having a social life, which is really difficult this time of year.
Wow, it's a lot to juggle, Laura. Is it a battle sometimes with doing the homework so far, or are both your kids, that's quite an age spread, are both of them into doing the stuff online?
Yeah, they're really okay with doing it online. Like I said, my senior has already been doing homework online for even before the COVID pandemic. But my first grader, she's learning how to use her Chromebook, which she's very proud of herself because her big brother uses it as well. And then using Zoom and seeing all of her friends. And I'm learning as well. So I'm kind of going off of what my son is doing in high school and saying, hey, can you help me? Because I really don't know what I'm doing.
Good plan. Laura, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Jenny, your thoughts on what Laura had to say?
Yeah, I think that's so wonderful. And I think what's so interesting is kids are missing the part of school that we can't provide, which is the social interaction and the humanness of the school. So, I mean, I think it's great that her kids are so willing and able. I would say, you know, one of the things to really think about is, you know, how can kids connect with each other in ways that are meaningful during this time? You know, there are other also sort of offline ways, writing letters. We started pen paling, writing to people who are in elderly homes that need, you know, that are unable to have visitors. And that's been incredibly rewarding, which isn't within the confines of a traditional school, but is doing good and is good for the kids.
Laura, thanks so much for calling in. I do appreciate it. Laura mentioned something that's really important here, Jenny. Her first grader's learning the technology. Laura herself is using the technology, learning to use some of it. This is sounds like a good reason to cut ourselves a little bit of slack too, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, some of the demands are, again, it's one thing if you had a lot of time to plan for, you know, knowing that everybody was going to go online and what that would look like. But, you know, I also have friends, her kids obviously of very different ages, but I have friends who have children of similar ages who are all simultaneously meant to go online at the same time in different classrooms, which of course requires an incredible amount of bandwidth for the parents and actually physically for technology and a different device for four kids. So you start to think about, wow, there are a lot of parameters that make this more or less accessible. And they're not just about sort of my knowledge as a parent or having the right equipment. There might be multiple factors that make it these technologies more or less available to different families.
Well, in our last minute or two, Jenny, can you leave us with some advice or words of encouragement for parents who are one of the many parents who are in this boat right now?
Yeah, I think my only words of advice might be about just compassion for yourself. Compassion for your kids and also compassion for educators. You know, one thing that that sparked for me when we were talking before is it's not that educators are serving kids or our parents. Like many of them happen to be both. You know, our teaching force remains primarily women, and many of those women have young children at home themselves or older children. So they're negotiating this entire working from home thing too, trying to create with excellence materials for your child. And how do we kind of convert that kind of empathy and compassion into advocacy once this will be over, because it will be over, and make sure that schools and children and teachers all over the United States have what they need to be successful every day.
Jenny, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, and safe, everybody. Stay home and just keep loving each other. That's the best we can do.
Thanks so much. That's Jenny Weiner, Associate Professor of Educational Leadership at the University of Connecticut. We talked to her about education during COVID-19 and why she says she refuses to run a coronavirus homeschool. She says, hey, everybody, you can cut yourself a little bit of slack as we're figuring this stuff out.